Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And I have to tell you, there's so much going on right now. It's just absolutely incredible. And we feel we're on the cutting edge of covering a lot of it. But we're going to ask you to share our work. And why are we doing that? Because we need to erase the ignorance caused by the mainstream media. And there is really no substitute for true knowledge. And together, we're partners in this, and we don't have much time to rise up and stop this Bolshevik communist revolution. So please help me in that endeavor by sharing. We have a really great guest today. His name is Michael Hitchborn, and he has investigated to a high degree the infiltration of the Catholic Church by Marxist, and I'll add to this too, satanic forces. And during the course of the show, we're going to explore the various ways that the church, the Catholic Church, has been infiltrated. But I'll say this during the interview too, but this is in no way meant to besmirch Catholics, your practices. We're talking about leadership up to the Pope and certain and select bishops who are working against church doctrine. That'll be very, very clear to you. That doesn't mean you walk away from your religion. Don't think we're asking you to do that. We are not. So I just want to make that point very, very clear. Keep on practicing as you see fit. But please keep in mind, the enemy is not at the gate. It's inside the gate. And it's also true in other denominations. I think the Episcopalians are giving the Catholics a run for their money by invoking practices that endorse all kinds of immoral lifestyles. And really, I could go on and on about this, but the church is under attack. It's by design. It's foretold in the Bible. It says we approach the end times. This is what's going to happen. All right. Now, having said that, I want to talk about a few things that are going on in the world that are just absolutely out of sight. CBDC is really getting close. And I've been covering it a lot on YouTube and other venues. In fact, I'm speaking at the Clay Clark Conference in December 15th and 16th in California. And our topic is CBDC. But I got to tell you, the country has no choice if they want to survive. Well, here's the choice. The Federal Reserve has to save itself and the dollar and let the country die, or save the country and let the dollar die. That's what it comes down to. Now, there is a solution for this. The solution is this. We could curb spending and cut it dramatically. Where, Dave? Got Social Security, the baby boomers, big number. Yes, I know that. But here's what I don't think a lot of people realize. The hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars we spend on foreign aid, that needs to go right now. And I'm not talking humanitarian aid. Let's save lives, but let's stop funding people to take lives. And that's what we're doing in Ukraine. And it's time now for a ceasefire and some kind of decision in Gaza. This is just beyond the pale. It's not worth a world war. I think Netanyahu is, I understand the anger. I do, and I wanted retribution. Retribution's been had, but retribution doesn't mean it's a license for genocide. And if we keep going, that's what I'm afraid is going to happen. And I fully support Israel, but I support not moving to the brink of nuclear annihilation a whole lot more than I support that. So I hope that you'll pay attention to that. Now, also, too, you've already heard the first installment. I have a new show. Yes, I do. It's called Hiding in Plain Sight, HIPS for short. And I was really influenced entertainment-wise by Art Bell, and I'm not going to imitate Art Bell. But I want to go down the avenue of taking some things that we like to talk about, you know, like clairvoyance, ESP, remote viewing, events, conspiracies, JFK, for example. I'm going to do something this weekend on JFK. We're going to shine light on topics that I think are interesting, fun, and will really pique your curiosity. And we need to have a balance with this and also to geopolitics. I'm not stopping the geopolitics. We have a nation. Actually, we have a planet to save. and save it in the name of the Lord. And I hope we can push off the tribulation and the end days to final judgment. I hope we can put that off to later generations. That's my hope. It doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen, but I think we need to work to defeat the enemy. We're not supposed to be just passive recipients of God's mercy. He calls us to confront evil, and we need to confront evil. So what I'm hoping that you'll do is you'll tune into this show. You'll say, okay, I like the change of pace here, and it's interesting, and I'm going to keep it very scientific and fact-based for the most part. We may go off on a few tangents here and there, but basically, I want to put science to what we know. I mean, is it true you can manipulate people through frequencies? Oh, we're going to look at that. We've covered that a little bit on our basic stations, but not to the degree that I plan to cover it. And I really, really think you'll enjoy it. Hey, we are brought to you by Noble Gold. And if you had heard my live stream report last night, and you can find it on YouTube, you would say, holy crap, Batman, I need to get prepped right now. I need to get as far away from the bank as I can. Only leave operating capital. And oh, by the way, if you've got retirement in the bank, unless you move it, it's as good as gone. So you say, well, what do you do? Well, Noble Gold can save your retirement by putting it under your control, because the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 says, if they want it, they can take it. You go, what? You heard me. If they want it, they can take it. And you go, OMG, this is so bad. It is. It's terrible. The government has a license to steal your money, and so do the banks, and they're working in combination with each other. And as the economy really begins to falter, you can expect to lose everything. That's why you need to let me send you a free information packet by going to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. Now, the government wants me to tell you a risk, and you know, past performance is not indicative of future performance. We agree with that, but I've been advertising for them for 6 years, and I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 5 years. I'm telling you, they're the best that there is. DaveHodgesGold.com or call 1-800-877-646. Did I say 1-800? Try this. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Now, on to Michael Hitchborn. You're going to love this interview. It's very real.
Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show, where we're trying to free America one enslaved mind at a time. And because so many of our broadcasts go on digital, we ask you to share if you could, and we need to make that 1 million minds at a time, and not just their minds, but their souls. And that will kind of blend into what we're going to talk about today with our guest, Michael Hitchborn. And he's the founder of the Lepanto Institute. And they are doing a bang up job investigating concerns that many of us have regarding the Catholic Church. And I want to say this as a disclaimer, okay? This show is decidedly and unapologetically Christian-oriented. We welcome people from all backgrounds. We do not discriminate. But I am a Christian. I have attended Catholic Mass many, 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 many times, past girlfriends, most currently family members who are Catholic, and they're discouraged. I speak for some members of my family. A couple of my family members have left the Catholic Church over some of the issues I'm sure they're going to come up that Michael is going to present. But I want to say this. I'm not doing this show to attack Catholics. Quite the opposite. We share Jesus in common. What I am wanting to do with this show is to expose wrongdoings on the part of the hierarchy of the church in an attempt to try to expose problems so we can correct them. And that's the only intent that I have here. I'm not attacking anyone's religion. So, Michael, welcome to the show. And when CJ, our mutual friend, when she contacted me this morning, I said, I want to do this as soon as possible, because this is very serious, because we live in tough times when people either are going to be on Team Jesus or Team Satan. And we can't have people confused by actions of people in the church.
Absolutely, 100%. Thanks so much for having me on. And I want to thank you especially for your opening there, because I am a lifelong Catholic. I'm a cradle Catholic. I love my church. I love my faith. But what we do when we investigate organizations like the Catholic Campaign for Human Development and Catholic Relief Services, we do it out of love for those who are donors to those organizations. We do it out of love for the priests who are collecting these for these organizations. We do it out of love for the bishops who are conducting the collections. And when I say that we do this out of love, the truth is rooted in love. And if we're not standing for the truth, then what are we doing?
Exactly.
So we are a truth-based organization rooted in the Catholic faith, but sometimes the truth hurts, and exposing the truth can be very difficult at times.
This is painful because people who are on the fence about committing to Jesus may have second thoughts based on what they see from what we're going to talk about. And that's why it's important to do shows like this, so we can give people the opportunity to come to the Lord. Talk about your organization, what motivated you to start it, and a little bit more about what you're trying to accomplish.
Sure. So I founded the Lepanto Institute in 2015. It was born out of investigations that I was conducting when I worked for American Life League back from 2007 to 2014. And as I was conducting investigations into pro-abortion, anti-family organizations, the one thing that came up with regard to the Catholic Church was the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. And I wound up producing several very detailed reports on behalf of American Life League regarding the CCHD. And we also investigated Catholic Relief Services. We investigated Catholic Charities. We investigated various Catholic hospital systems that were performing abortions and dispensing contraception. And through the course of these investigations, it became pretty clear that what I had unraveled, this tangled web, was kind of beyond the scope of American Life League's mission. So we decided to part ways, and I founded the Lepanto Institute in order to carry on these investigations.
Yeah, it was kind of like a hear no evil, see no evil, it sounds like.
A little bit, but it's more just American Life League is specifically a pro-life organization, but we were uncovering things regarding international communism, homosexual and transgender networks that were forming and the relationships between them all. So it was a little bit outside of their scope.
Tell me just a little bit about that. What were you finding?
Well, with the international communist organizations, because as I was looking into the CCHD, especially Catholic Charities, I noticed that they were a member of something called Caritas Internationalis, and I wanted to know what that was. Caritas Internationalis is an international aid and development agency that is based in Rome. Catholic Relief Service is a member. The one that's based out of Ireland is called Troker. The one in the Netherlands is called Cordaid. In England, it's called CAFOD. These are all international aid and development agencies that are designed to, they build up impoverished areas and they bring food to the poor and that kind of thing. Except that I also noticed that Caritas Internationalis was on the governing body of something called the World Social Forum. And the World Social Forum is an international communist organization. They march through the streets with hammer and sickle flags. They parade around with Karl Marx banners and signs. So as we were conducting these investigations and seeing that Caritas was a part of this, not just as a member, but on the actual governing body of this thing, we found other things that were pointing to the fact that there is a very serious problem of Marxism in the church.
Well, yeah, and I would even go deeper. I would say satanically inspired.
Well, yes,
because we know body bags accompany socialism. Mm-hmm. When you look at this organization, this World Social Forum, and I'm familiar with it, I've covered it from a different perspective. Many of our people in Congress and Democrats in Congress, as many as 70, have belonged to splinter groups associated with them, or subsidiaries, or directly with them, like the Squad. The Squad, some of them have direct affiliation with the World Social Forum. So is it one big happy family that reaches across all domains, political, religious, social, controversial issues, pro-life and so forth? Because it seems to me this organization would not be pro-life. It would be pro-abortion.
It is. I mean, the World Social Forum is pro-abortion. It's pushing homosexuality. It's pushing transgenderism. And what else is interesting is that you mentioned that there are politicians in Congress that are participants and active members of the World Social Forum. And what's interesting about that is that a lot of those members that you're talking about are Catholic. Yes. And those Catholic members of Congress are the ones who are the most heavy in promoting abortion and transgenderism in the United States. And what's interesting about that is that they happen to live in dioceses where bishops absolutely refuse to deny them Holy Communion, which is a part of canon law in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. If you're out there promoting things that are completely inimical to church teaching, well, then the church actually has a law that says they are not to be admitted to Holy Communion. But there are bishops who are getting kickbacks from these politicians. They're getting finances for Catholic relief services. They're getting finances for Catholic charities. So there's a quid pro quo going on where these bishops are giving communion to these pro-abortion politicians. And in return, those politicians are opening up the funds to those bishops.
Wow. Does it end up in campaign coffers, money from these this organization?
That's hard to tell. It would be really hard to trace, only because as a religion, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops doesn't have to file its taxes.
Oh, that's the perfect cover. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would imagine, though, since these priests are administering communion in instances where they shouldn't, there's probably the quid pro quo of, we'll make sure our parishioners support you in the next election.
There is a lot of that. In fact, many of the bishops absolutely refuse to have any preaching that says that if the politician is pro-abortion, you can't vote for them. They fight very hard against that very ideology. In fact, Cardinal McElroy out in San Diego is the leading proponent of removing from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops the preeminence of abortion being the political issue of our day. In other words, that's a non-negotiable. You cannot allow somebody who's pro-abortion to participate in the public life or in terms of Catholic finances concerned. But so he's fighting against that. He's fighting against that very idea. And Cardinal McElroy, of course, being in San Diego, has a lot of politicians within his diocese that enjoy a very cozy relationship with him.
I know the infiltration is great. Let me take it to a higher level, kind of a 30,000-foot view for a second. Wasn't it sometime back when the Pope actually mentioned combining Islam and Christianity into Chrislam?
Yeah, well, so that was the Abu Dhabi statement.
Yes.
And it took place, I think, in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And the statement said that God wills the plurality of religions with the same will by which he created man and woman. And it's a heresy. I mean, that's an actual heresy. And he signed that document. And as a result of that, now Abu Dhabi they've built these three shrines, effectively, they call them the monotheistic shrines. Well, one to Christianity, one to Islam, and then one to Judaism. And it's kind of an unholy trinity where you have three different monotheistic religions, two of which are not Trinitarian, as if they're on equal footing. And it's abominable is what it is.
It is horrendous.
Yeah.
To me, this is part of the reason when I brought this up. I have two family members, relatives that left the Catholic Church in part over this issue.
Yeah.
And they're now going to a non-denominational church. And I'm happy to say I had nothing to do with their decision. They talked to me about it, but I used to work in mental health and, you know, you kind of let the client decide their fate and you just give them the facts and reflect back to them. And that's what I did. But they could not stay in a church where they said, we're not going to pay homage to Muhammad. And that was one of their big objections here. And so is this still a threat to the church?
Well, I would say that the threat to the church really is the threat to souls, like it is with your family members.
Sure.
The church herself can never actually contradict herself. So if somebody introduces a new teaching that is completely inimical to all 2,000 years of Catholic teaching, then it's obviously false and can't be followed. And it's not introduced as a new belief of Christianity or of Catholicism. That's not a thing. But there are those who create illusions within the church, and those illusions are the things that are causing scandal.
It really is. And they're blurring the line with abortion, as you mentioned, in San Diego. How's that showing up? I mean, when you look at just the day-to-day operations of the Catholic Church, people come for confession, and someone may have had a change of heart after they had an abortion, and they're seeking forgiveness and repentance. And so they go to confession. And how's the church dealing with this now?
Well, when it comes to repentance, I mean, the church has the sacrament of confession. So when somebody commits a terrible sin and they want to be reconciled with our Lord, there are priests available for reconciliation. That's what the sacrament of confession is all about. Mm-hmm. When it comes to something like abortion, in canon law, previously it had been the case that it was an excommunicable offense to commit an abortion. And so you would have to talk to your bishop, and your bishop would lift that excommunication before you would even be able to go to confession. But that stipulation, I believe, has recently been removed. So now you can actually receive absolution just by going to confession.
Is it a move to reduce the prohibition against abortion? Is that how you see it?
I actually think it has more to do with the just how pervasive it is, that there are so many, and that if the bishop had to lift excommunications for everybody that had received had an abortion, that they wouldn't have time to do anything else. I mean, there really are that many, and it's a horrific thought that there are so many within the Catholic Church that are going for abortion. But the sad fact is that that's probably the case.
It really isn't. Have you noticed, and this is kind of outside the topic of religion, but have you noticed that a lot of these supports for various organizations, all are organizations that end with no reproductivity, no childbirth?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I think the reason that there is such a strong push for contraception, homosexuality, and abortion is because they really are trying to go for zero growth. And what better way to accomplish that than by getting the moral authority of various churches? And the devil is very, very clever in this way. And you have to think about this in terms of the spiritual warfare. What does the devil want to do? He can't punish God himself, but he wants to destroy everything that is of God. And so when the devil goes after human life itself, whether it's in euthanasia or abortion or contraception or whatever it is, the devil is attacking the image and likeness of God. So even though he can't hurt God, he can destroy his image and likeness. And that's why the devil is going after people through this very means.
Yeah, I told someone from the Episcopal Church, they were an official with the church, and they weren't real happy with my comment. I told them, I said, everything you're doing now, what you're embracing, and it gave me this judge not lest you be judged. And I said, I completely agree with that. Judgment's not mine. Judgment belongs to the Lord. But I said, you're encouraging people to sin. And I said, when you embrace LGBT and you say it's okay with the church, you're embracing sin. You're encouraging sin. And he goes, well, you're judging again. I says, no, I'm quoting from Scripture. And is the Catholic, I know the Episcopalian Church, I have a big issue with what they've done in those regard to those social issues. The Catholic Church, I think, is farther ahead. Do you think so, too?
It's going to follow in the same direction. At least many bishops and priests are following in that same direction already. But to your point about embracing sin and leading people into sin, and then, of course, they throw that judgment line right back at you. My rejoinder to that is this. If you see a group of people playing volleyball, except they didn't see the sign that says minefield in the sandy pit that they're playing volleyball in, but you see the sign that says minefield, are you judging them by telling them, hey, you're in a minefield, you need to come out? Would you be committing a sin by saying, you know what, they're having a good time, I'm just going to let them continue to play in the minefield? No, of course you'd be committing a sin. Of course you'd be doing something terrible. So you're not judging them per se by telling them you need to come out of there, because that's dangerous. It's spiritually dangerous for people to engage in this kind of behavior. So we have to tell people what you're doing is going to lead you down a very dark path that you can't come back from. But we are calling you back. We want you to see the truth. We want you to embrace the truth. We want you to love Christ as he loves you. So that's all we're trying to do. That's not judgment.
I know. Sin is sin is sin.
Right.
And what I have told to people who I know are gay, a couple have asked me, says, well, Dave, how do you feel? And I said, it's not important how I feel. It's important on what how you view your relationship with God, if you have one. Right. I said, that's what's important. And I said, I don't judge you as a person. And I've even told them, I said, I enjoy your company. I find you pleasant to be around. But when you ask me that question, I'm not going to violate my beliefs and tell you, yeah, it's okay. You need to self-reflect. And is this behavior going to get you to where you want to be ultimately? Precisely. And that's been my approach. But this gets turned on us like crazy. And I'm so glad to hear you say this. I wanted to bring up Catholic services and immigration.
Oh, yeah.
I have contacts in the Border Patrol. One of my broadcast partners, Doug Thornton, is a former DHS supervisor. And what I can tell you that they tell me is that elements of the Catholic Church, in particular Catholic services, are supportive of illegal immigration to the point where they don't care if they facilitate drug trafficking or child trafficking. Can you address that?
Yeah, 100%. And I can actually emphasize that by saying, yeah, I've been in touch with similar people. A good friend of mine, Jesse Romero, is in, he's former law enforcement down in LA, and he's been in touch with various law enforcement officials down along the border. And he's told me that absolutely they're facilitating the trafficking of children. They're facilitating the trafficking of drugs. They make no distinction as to who it is that they're helping across the border. All they're doing is relocating these individuals as they come across without asking any questions. And the reason they're doing that is for filthy lucre. There's a government program that I remember seeing that the Catholic Charities was being paid $2,500 a head. Every single person they got across the border and resettled, they were getting $2,500. And I think it was that particular year that I looked into it that Catholic Charities USA was recorded as having pulled in, I think, $4 or $5 billion, most of which came from the federal government.
It's so disgusting. One of the things that I've been told, in particular by one Border Patrol agent, he said he's been in situations where they've actually released people to Catholic Charities, but the release involved a man that they were sure was not the father of the girls that were accompanying him. And he said, I know trafficking when I see it. And he said, these girls were too afraid to speak. He said, I even took them alone and said, is this your father? And they wouldn't answer because they were frightened to death. And so our Border Patrol, I mean, Ted Cruz told this story too. He and John Cornyn had a press conference 2 weeks ago, and they were on night patrol with the Border Patrol, and they encountered such a situation like I'm telling you about. And the Border Patrol said, we can't do anything. We're ordered to release them by the Biden administration. Is there resistance to this within the Catholic Church, these unholy practices?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are a lot of very faithful Catholics who are deeply upset about this. It's very difficult to figure out what to do or how to help, especially as Border Patrol is ordered not to get involved. Mm-hmm. And especially as regards to what Catholic Relief Service or Catholic Campaign or excuse me, Catholic Charities is doing on the border. But I think that the most important thing or the most effective thing we can do for the moment is to expose, because the more exposure this problem gets, the easier it will be to enact changes.
It is. And, it, you know, and it's interesting, too, the way that we're doing immigration and my dad's side of the family, immigrants, and they had to come in. They had to do naturalization for 7 years. They had to pass a test on the Constitution, U.S. history, and show some English proficiency. And that was true time immemorial. But here it's just open border, ollie-ollie, oxen free. Anyone can come in, no checking. And I think the reason that they don't check for criminal backgrounds, terrorist backgrounds, to any meaningful degree is because this government knows organizations like Catholic Charities are making lots of money. They want that political support. And I think it's a reciprocal relationship. Is my view extreme? Because I'm specifically referring to Joe Biden and Mayorkas.
No, Yeah, I don't think you're extreme at all. I think that what you're doing is common sense, so to speak.
Very good. What kind of resistance are you seeing within the Catholic Church to stop the trafficking of kids at the border?
I know that there are very faithful Catholics who are working to try and stop it. What they are doing in particular, I can't say because I don't know. But I do know that there are individuals who are getting involved in trying to stop this problem. And there are some who are working to embed themselves, so to speak, so that they can get firsthand accounts of what's really going on. Once they get that footage and that information out, I think that that's really where we're going to see a lot of change, hopefully. But until...
Kind of like a Project Veritas investigation.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, if you know people that want to come on and expose, I'm all too happy to cooperate. Because when I was notified of what you were doing and you had interest in coming on the show, CJ will tell you, 15 minutes later, I was in contact with her. Because this needs to be stopped. I would think people in my advice to people who are okay with this, rather than their church or not, they might want to look at the part of the Bible that talks about tying millstones around your neck.
Yep.
This is something I'm very passionate about, and I'm very disturbed by. Is the resistance in part coming from priests?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of very faithful priests that are fighting in their own way. I can't really say that they're being a mouthpiece or they're being vocal about things, because that's one of the easiest ways to get yourself canceled. But what they are doing is quietly resisting. They're talking to parishioners on a more intimate basis. They're informing them that way. They're not participating in things like the Collection for the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. And the same is true for some bishops that I know as well. Again, doing this very quietly, not being public about it, but it is a quiet resistance that is allowing for at least a slowdown of the encroachment of this infiltration and the mm-hmm. evil that's being propagated within the church.
Yeah, we need more than a slowdown, though, because yeah. It's growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's growing. In fact,
it's a malignant cancer.
The handcuffing of our authorities, another thing that came out of that press conference with those senators I mentioned, was they also encountered terrorists that were armed with incendiary devices. And they took the devices and they released them. This is Ted Cruz and John Cornyn telling this, but the mainstream media wouldn't even publicize this. It went out on shows like mine and other YouTube outlets, but I didn't see this anywhere in the mainstream media. And here's four U.S. senators in total talking about their experiences with the trafficking, with the terrorists, and the Border Patrol said, all we can do is disarm them, and we're ordered to release them.
I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, it's so egregiously bad that it just defies every ounce of rationality. It makes no sense.
Who, the nefarious elements of the Catholic Church, who do you think that they're in league with to facilitate this? These practices?
Well, the Marxists, for one. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development, which is the recent investigation we conducted, was created in 1969 for the very specific purpose of financing Saul Alinsky's community organizing groups.
Rules for Radicals, yeah.
Yes. So CCHD has been financing just about every community organizing group you can imagine out there ever since 1969. That's hundreds of millions of dollars that they have given to radical Marxist organizations. There's an organization that was founded in 1972 called PICO, and I can't remember what it stands for. It was founded by two Jesuits, very, very deep in social justice, but they created PICO based on Saul Alinsky's model. And they also did it because they wanted to take his Rules for Radicals, but apply it to the churches and get it into various churches. And, in recent years, I think it was in 2017, PICO changed its name to Faith in Action, And we've been able to find that Faith in Action is not only radically pro-abortion, but they were out there applauding the very open revolution that took place in 2020 when they were burning down buildings. Their leadership was encouraging people to burn down buildings, to loot stores, to enact violence against people that were resisting, and to justify just about everything that they were doing. In 2022, so in June of last year, actually, when Roe versus Wade was overturned, Faith in Action formally issued a statement saying that they're going to fight against any measure to restrict a woman's access to reproductive rights and health, which translates into abortion. And they called the decision a terrible thing, and they said that it was going to be punishment from God for doing this. And it was a lot of blather, but the fact of the matter is that these are radical Marxists, very clearly. Mm-hmm. I've written a number of reports on them. I've shown their connection to Marxist ideologies. And the thing is that despite all of this, the CCHD, which is run by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, has been unapologetically continuing funding for these organizations.
It's amazing. I don't think the motive is purely financial, although mm-hmm. big money is changing hands, I know. Do you look at other motives that come into play here besides the financial?
When it comes to CCHD, it's primarily financial, but because these organizations, when they form a relationship with the CCHD, many of them get into various parishes. So it becomes a recruiting tool. And they say, well, we're getting funding from the CCHD. The CCHD encourages them to go to their local parishes and to tell people what they're doing, to recruit from within. So it's both and. It's financial, but it's also access. And the access is for recruiting purposes.
You really open up a can of worms when you use the word Marxism, because it gives it a very broad reach.
Yep.
And so let me target a little bit here. The biggest Marxist organization on the face of the earth is the United Nations, followed by their partner, the World Economic Forum, and yep. their partner, BlackRock. Can you talk about the linkage between what you've discovered and the relationship with these organizations?
Well, I can tell you that Pope Francis addressed the World Economic Forum, mm-hmm. encouraging them to do the work that they were doing. He spoke at the United Nations in 2015, encouraging people to sign the Paris Accords. He also encouraged all of the United Nations member nations to sign on to the Sustainable Development Goals. I wrote a very thorough report several years ago analyzing all of the planks of the social development goals, all 17 goals. Mm-hmm. And I showed how every single one of them lined up with the planks of Marxism and Marxist ideologies, communist ideologies since its foundation in Russia anyway. But the fact that he has consistently called for the promotion of the sustainable development goals, the implementation of the sustainable development goals, it is a United Nations initiative. Its architect is a man by the name of Jeffrey Sachs. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Sachs has an office in the Vatican now. And most people don't know this, but he's actually in the Vatican. And some say that he had a hand in writing Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si, which is the encyclical on the environment that has been cited so many times to push the global Marxist agenda for climate change, whatever that means. But that's just a little snippet of it. I mean, there are many other connections, but the fact of the matter is that, yeah, this goes all the way up to the Vatican, goes all the way up to the Pope. And the connection between the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, it's very tight.
The my association with this knowledge
really began when I had my eyes open to Agenda 21, mm-hmm. the precursor to Agenda 2030. It's really just one big story, but they just changed names because they were behind schedule. What concerned me in Agenda 21 was the concept of Gaia. And it was a direct affront to Christianity, where man is given dominion over the earth, and then there's the descending order ending with the earth. But it looked like Agenda 21 has inverted that process that continues today in the Sustainable Developmental Goals, where man is at the bottom of the hierarchy. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Yes, 100%. The connection to Gaia is not lost on me, primarily because in 2019, in October of 2019, Pope Francis held what was called the Pan-Amazonian Synod in Rome. And at this synod, there were a bunch of indigenous people from Brazil that showed up, and they brought all sorts of totems with them. And one of them was a little wooden idol of a pregnant, naked woman called the Pachamama. And that Pachamama, there was a ceremony in the Vatican Gardens where the Pachamama was venerated by some individuals, mostly indigenous peoples, but also there was a Franciscan priest that was venerating this thing. And it was buried in the Vatican Gardens. During that ritual, Pope Francis was given a tucum ring to symbolize a mystical union with Mother Earth. And it was, I mean, it was a pagan ritual. There are no two bones about it. It was a pagan ritual. And I say this as a Catholic who loves my faith, who loves the Pope. I love the man. I want him to be saved. I don't want him to go to hell, but he's doing his darndest to go there. It's a terrible thing. But that was a pagan ceremony. There's no way to say that it wasn't. And I would be lying to say that it wasn't. It was a pagan ceremony. And then what happened is that they had smudging ceremonies in the streets of Rome outside of one of the churches, including these Pachamama idols. These idols were placed on altars in Rome. And then during the closing mass, they had an effigy of the Pachamama placed on St. Peter's altar. So there's no two ways about it, but the connection between pagan worship and climate change is it's undeniable.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with this. And when you place man at the bottom of the hierarchy of power on this planet, as we were supposed to rule the earth, basically manage the earth with compassion and grace and love. But it's clear we're with the chosen species on this planet by the Lord. There's no question. But that's not the view that's being put forth by these world organizations that want us to live in smart cities, 15-minute cities, mm-hmm. and live under these sustainable developmental goals, which you're right, they are totally satanic. And I wish, and I hope that when you find time, you'll send me that article that you wrote on this. And I'd love to publish it on my website, because I think people need to immerse it. Because some people will look at it and go, well, some of this stuff is okay. Well, every lie starts with the truth. And every deception begins with a fact and reality. I really want to see what you wrote about that and then publish it. Because climate change, the way they want to do it, is going to kill millions, if not more. And let me just give you one example. I just covered this today. The name has jumped out of my head, but it's a national, they work with Congress and they control the grid here, and I don't see it here in my notes. But this organization came out today and said 67% of America is going to have problems getting through the winter without roving blackouts. Okay. And then in the UK, they said about 6 months ago, we expect next winter about 10,000 people are going to freeze to death. And Germany is saying basically the same thing in different words. And the message is this: to achieve our climate change goals, people are just going to have to suffer. And this is, wow. This is not what the Lord intends. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
No.
But this is so, I thought I had this here in my notes. I'd like to read to the organization because they're prominent, and I'm sorry, I don't seem to have it here readily available unless I turn the page, and here it is. the National, the North America Reliability Corporation. And they do the reporting to the Department of Energy. They do reporting to Congress on the Energy Committee. These aren't fly by night, let's make something up and alarm people. They're saying this is a real deal. And it's all because, and they say the major reason why, Michael, that we're going to have problems is they can't get the fuel to power the grid to where they need it to go. And that's because of Biden energy policies. And then they went further and said, we're embracing policies and technologies that are unproven to try to get us through the winter. And they're talking solar and wind primarily. So it's all part of what you're talking about there with sustainable developmental goals. And it's evil because it's going to kill people. I lost your sound.
Sorry, I muted myself because I had to cough. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
No, you're absolutely right. And the thing is that it's not just about the death of people. It's about getting people to be reliant on the government for their energy needs, for their food needs, for everything. This is what Chinese communism really is all about. It's about making sure that the people are so reliant on the state that the state becomes God. And Biden is completely beholden to the communist Chinese. His entire regime is basically a subsidiary puppet of the communist Chinese. And unfortunately, Pope Francis sold out to the Chinese also, where the Vatican is getting several billion dollars a year. And in exchange, Pope Francis has allowed the communist Chinese to appoint Catholic bishops. So it's, yeah.
Whoa, wait a minute, wait. They hate Christians. They persecute and kill Christians. They kill mm-hmm. you for having a Bible. And you're telling me that Xi Jinping is now going to do business with bishops?
Because they're useful.
You just, I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was not expecting this, Michael. I never thought the Chinese would embrace Christianity in any form to enhance their goals because they're so anti-Christian.
The one to talk to about this is Stephen Mosier over at the Population Research Institute. Stephen Mosier is a very good friend of mine, and he is the world's leading expert on communism in China. And he has exposed the fact that the communists are using the I can't remember what the word is. Basically the Catholic Church of the Communist Party in China in order to control the Chinese Catholics. And there are a large population of Catholics in China, most of which are resisting the Communist Party, but the party affiliate is trying to take them all in, which is why they made that deal with the Vatican.
The way you just explained it makes sense because every military person I talk to thinks that Xi Jinping faces an uprising within the next year. He's already killed his defense minister, died of a heart attack. Mm. Two generals have disappeared. I mean, there is real turmoil right now in Chinese leadership. Him leaving the country surprised a lot of my military sources because they thought he'd be afraid to leave because he might come back to a rebellion. If you'd pass my name along to Stephen Mosier, I'd appreciate it. Feel free to give him my contact information.
Yeah, you bet.
Because I'd certainly like to talk to him about this. Well, I want to come back to home base for a second, because I don't want anyone to change a faith, a belief, where you attend religious services just based solely on this interview. What do you say to people who say, well, you're a covert agent and you're just trying to destroy the Catholic Church?
My response is that everything that I've exposed, I have to expose because it's true, but it does not shake my faith. And if anything, it has strengthened my faith in my church, because any church that can survive 2,000 years with this kind of shenanigans taking place, I think it was a bishop who said it best when he was speaking with Napoleon. The church has existed for 1700 years with bishops trying to tear it apart. Do you really think you can do so with your own armies? The truth is that we have gone through turmoil after turmoil after turmoil, but she always comes out more glorious and victorious every single time. And I expect the same thing to come through now.
So on Judgment Day, you expect the church to be there and prominent. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, I think that's really optimistic, and I think it's laudable, but I want to make sure that the purpose of the interview, and Michael, I know you're not about this, but we are not attacking Catholics.
Not in the least.
Okay. Continue with your practices, but be aware there's cleanup to be done on several aisles in your religion, yes, but also in any religion. I'll give you an example. In the church I attend, a pastor, well-meaning, I think he's a godly man, he was talking about Romans 13, you got to do what the government says. I agree, we should. We're supposed to be dutiful to authority. But when that government tells you to do something that is against teachings of the Bible, I ain't doing it. And right. He didn't give that qualifier. And a couple of my neighbors that go to the same church says, I don't know if I can go back. And I have to be honest with you, I kind of hesitated too. But then I thought, no, I find comfort and solace in going to this church. And basically, it's a church that promotes the word of God. But we see this, and I'm in a non-denominational church. And it's rather large, too. And they are godly, but sometimes they say ungodly things.
It seems inevitable at this point.
Well, that's because the church is made up of us.
Yes. In the chat here, the chat function here on the program, I did send you the link to the article on the sustainable development goals.
Very good. Well, tell people how they can follow you, because I'll tell you, my instincts about I wanted to do this interview were good. They were right on the money. And CJ picked right up on that and says, yeah, Dave, I'm going to put you two together as quickly as possible. And I really appreciate it, and I want to thank her for doing that. And thank you for coming on in short notice. But do you think, I don't want to ask you a projection question. Do you think there's hope for the people inside the Catholic Church to rescue the faith and take it away from the unholy?
Completely. And a very good priest friend of mine said to me once, it's not as if a bunch of men in the middle of the night, under cover of darkness, snuck into the Vatican and stole the keys of St. Peter right out of God's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's happening right now is being allowed to happen because God is permitting it to happen to try us. It is a trial. It is a chastisement. It is intended to make our faith stronger. And as a result, this is the thing that most people forget. God is not a God of results. He's not some CEO demanding that you crank out a widget and do so with a percentage at the end of the day. No, all he demands is fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
Are you faithful? Do you love me? Do you love your neighbor? And if you are following my commandments, then you love me. So if we remain true and faithful to the commandments as they've always been given to us, forget about any commandments that say, oh, they're environmental sins. Garbage. There have never been environmental sins. There never will be environmental sins. Pay attention to the deposit of faith that was given to us by Christ. Remain faithful to the commandments as he gave them, because he said, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. Okay, that's a formula for us to follow. And if we follow his commandments and we ignore all of the garbage and nonsense that's buzzing around us, well, then we won't sink into the ocean the way St. Peter did. St. Peter stepped out on the boat and he was walking on water. Why? Because he saw our Lord and he was walking towards our Lord. But then he started to sink. Why? Because he took account of the wind and the waves. The wind and the waves is a symbol of the world. That's what we have to, you know, don't let it bother you. Our Lord tells us consistently, don't let it disturb your inner peace. Scandals have to come. He said they will come. He said it's necessary that they come to try the faith of the good. So let it try your faith and let it and rest in the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand how this can be the stuff that's going on. How can I remain true? Well, the way you remain true is by remaining faithful to Christ. All he asks is fidelity. That's it.
Well, it says, revenge is mine, saith the Lord, and the best revenge sometimes is a life well lived.
Yeah.
I think exposure is the order of the day. I don't think that any kind of uprising, you know, of a physical nature is called for. How can people follow what you do? Because you're a storehouse of knowledge. I feel like we're just, you know, tapping into the bare minimum here. So how can people follow you?
Absolutely. If they come to our website, which is lepantoin.org, here's the website here over my shoulder, lepantoin.org. Sign up for our newsletter. You follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. And I have a YouTube channel as well where we release reports and I do a general weekly program, 1 hour program.
When does that air?
Thursday nights at 6:30.
Okay. And what time zone is that?
Eastern.
Okay. Got to ask that because we want to send people there.
Yeah.
Michael,
yeah.
This has been as much as I had hoped it'd be. And I really appreciate the work you're doing. And let's hope that this does some good and people don't leave the faith, but people will stand up and expose what's going on that's wrong. I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for joining us.